from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you. And from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll first find out what's going on at the Indianapolis Museum of Art for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and then later on I'll hear about what the White River State Park is doing for the MLK Day as well.
I'll find out about the new Indie Art Colony.
Easy for you to say.
That's right.
Plus, there's our arts calendar we call.
What do we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. For Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday the 17th, many arts and cultural organizations are having special celebrations. One of those is the Indianapolis Museum of Art, which is offering art-making activities for kids, gallery tours and lectures, as well as other special programs throughout the day. Travis DiNicola spoke with Tariq Robinson and Katie Zarek from the IMA to find out more.
We are mainly going to be talking about what is going up at the IMA this coming Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but we'll also get into some other stuff. But let me just start out by saying congratulations on a great past year for you guys. You've been busy, great exhibits, great awards, great attendance, a good year for the IMA.
It was a great year for the IMA. We were so happy with the opening of 100 Acres, the Virginia B. Fairbanks Art and Nature Park, and
which is, I think, on like everyone's like top 10 list for like the most important things that happened in the city this past year.
It made a lot of roundups, which we were also happy to see that. But it was great to see how the park was embraced by the community. And also, we weren't really sure if people were going to use the park and then leave, or if they were going to also come into the museum. And what we saw were, maybe it had something to do with the unseasonably hot summer that we had, but many people took the opportunity to visit the galleries, and we love having people in the museum also. So
that's great. So you're seeing people that come to the park and then will come inside the museum or vice versa.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to bring especially younger people to the museum, because you can come to the museum first, and then when everybody's ready to blow off some steam, you can head outside where there are virtually no rules. So
and go run around. And,
that's right.
You know, and also the 100 Acres Park, it's open now.
I mean, it is open now.
It doesn't matter how cold or snowy it is. I mean, you can go out there and
there are some very serious birders, people who are into bird watching, and some people who don't mind the cold. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a great experience to see the park in all of the seasons, because it looks quite different in the wintertime from the summer, and the fall was gorgeous, and it will be great to see life come back into the park this spring, too.
Very cool, very cool. So it may be a little chilly to go out there on Monday, but there's plenty of things to do inside coming this Monday at the IMA. Tell me about everything that's going on for MLK Jr. Day.
Well, our Martin Luther King Jr. Day, this year we're celebrating the idea of courage in the arts, and it's going to be on the 17th on Monday from noon to 5. We will have activities for a wide range of ages, young and old, so everyone should just feel free to come on out and participate in some hands-on art making activities again that deal with the theme of courage. And
And you guys normally aren't open Monday, right? So this is also kind of a special thing.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. We are opening up the building for the special event to invite people in, again, to come with your families to take a look at some art and kind of think about artists and what they've created from the standpoint of being
courage.
Courageous.
It's a great theme. Absolutely great theme. Give me some examples of some of the things that families can participate in.
Well, like I mentioned, there's going to be the art making where visitors can have the opportunity to draw or write their memories of courageous moments in their family, their community, their school, the the country, the world. They can also, again, take tours through the collection, again, where docents will be leading visitors through the collection, kind of looking at these works of art through this particular lens. There's also going to be the Madeleine Albright collection of Read My Pens is going to be open free that day, which usually there's a charge for that exhibition.
Right. And I'm going to stop right there because that is supposed to, I still haven't seen it yet. Sharon Gamble, my co-host, loves that exhibit, did an interview earlier on it. These are the pins that Madeleine Albright has worn all over the world during all of her, you know, diplomatic activities, right? And she's put them on display. I mean, it sounds really cool.
It is. It's terrific. There are numerous examples of pins that she did wear throughout her diplomatic days. And lots of history in the exhibition, lots of patriotism, and it's a really great thing to see on Martin Luther King Day.
Definitely. Yeah, and so that's free that day.
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
And something else that we're doing on Martin Luther King Day is a special program at 4:00. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. The program is a conversation with artists, Courage to Pursue the Arts, and basically we've invited three really wonderful artists representing different disciplines in the arts. One, Mari Evans, a local poet, scholar, and a really just bright mind for the Indianapolis community. And we also have Dr. David Baker, distinguished professor at Indiana University.
Great, great jazz musician, great educator. I don't think there's a jazz musician in town who doesn't know something of him.
Yeah, I know. Very fortunate to have him on our schedule as well. And also Willis Bing Davis, a visual artist actually hailing out of Ohio, but does have ties here in the community. And they will all be speaking on the idea or the theme of pursuing their careers in the arts and the courage it's taken to get there.
I think that's such an interesting idea because it's not easy for some young people to go home and tell their parents, this is what I want to do. Being an artist in many disciplines doesn't always come with a steady paycheck, and I think parents oftentimes, it could be a little unnerving to go through that. So I look forward to that discussion. It should
definitely
be really fascinating.
Yeah, it really will be. I mean, I think that's such a great thing because you're right. I mean, just even choosing to be an artist is such a courageous act, but making art, putting it out there to be judged and interpreted, by other people. I mean, you don't make art in a vacuum, and you've got to be courageous in the first place to, put something out there that you want other people to give you feedback on and to see. So great, great topic for that day.
Definitely. We're also going to be showing films that day as well. A couple of films. Mr. Dial has something to say, again, in anticipation of the exhibition of Thornton Dial. Another film, Jacob Lawrence, An Intimate Portrait. So these films kind of give some more insight into their careers, how they have come to create art, what kind of goes into their thought process when making art. And
tell me a bit more about Thornton Dial, because that's you've got a big exhibit coming up, and so this film's tied into it. Who is he? What's he do?
Thornton Dial, he is a black artist from Alabama. He he creates these large-scale wall assemblages, really detailed, a lot of things happening in them. He's an artist that has a lot to say, really, in his works of art. Has lived a long life. That again, a lot of his works come directly out of experiences and things that he sees happening around him. The exhibition, I believe it's. Can't remember quite how many pieces are going to be in there, but it's really going to be a really powerful exhibition.
And this is a pretty big deal for the IMA to have this exhibit. I mean,
this
he's a very well-known contemporary artist.
That's right, and he's the exhibit is being curated by the IMA, which is something we're very proud of.
Okay.
And then it's traveling to three other museums throughout the country, maybe additional museums too. So after it premieres in Indianapolis, it will go to the New Orleans Museum of Art, the Mint Museum, which is in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a third museum, which escapes me. Oh, the High Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. Is that right? Yes, that's right.
Yeah, excellent.
So anyhow, it's a 70 works of art in the show.
Wow.
They're very colorful. He's in his 80s now.
And his works are pretty big generally.
They are aware of.
So that's going to be a big show.
It's going to be a big show. A lot to take in all senses of the word.
Yeah, and right now there's actually a preview piece. We've been doing these preview pieces kind of leading up to the show. So if people come out, you know, now ahead of time.
Tell me a bit about that piece in case people have seen it or can look for it.
Let's see. Well, now the title of that piece is going to escape me right now. But it kind of gives, we've been doing this to kind of give people an idea of what his work kind of looks like, what it entails, and just some of the things that go into it. But visitors will be able to kind of just get a sense for what they're going to be seeing in the larger exhibition.
That's right. It's hanging in Pulliam Great Hall, so you can't miss it when you come to the museum. And it's this may be the third or fourth piece that we've had hanging. And we also have a piece in our collection called Don't No Matter How Raggly the Flag, It's Still Got to Tie Us Together, which is red, white, and blue, and definitely has it's a very referential to the American flag. So that
he uses a lot of, I mean, found objects sort of assembled together, sometimes woven together.
That's right. Everything from mattress coils to Barbie dolls to bones of animals, all sorts of things. It's really, he works from the yard art tradition that's very prominent in the South and is a skilled metal worker himself and exciting figure in the contemporary art field, but somebody who's also been a little bit outside the contemporary art field. So we're just thrilled to bring his work to the museum.
Now, when's the Thorn Dial exhibit open?
It opens toward the end of February.
Okay.
So this is
a great time to sort of come preview some of the work, and as you mentioned, the film where you can learn a little bit more about him and his work. Great time to do that on Monday.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, that'll run. That film will run throughout the day from noon to five.
Cool. Very cool. Hey, just give me a bit of a preview as far as some other things that are coming up at the IMA. I mean, obviously, there's a ton going on with Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, but the fun just never ends at the IMA.
The fun never ends. We are free on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but we're free every day that we're open, so that's something I always like to remind people. We are always rotating things from our permanent collection. So if you think, oh, I don't want to go to the museum, I was just there 6 months ago, you really should come back because you'd be surprised how much has changed. This spring we have a very exciting textile arts show called Material World, and that draws upon some of the rich traditions of fashion throughout different cultures throughout the world. So I think that opens sometime in April. Our website, imamuseum.org, has all the details on everything.
Of course, there's always movies and lectures and concerts. And
the Toby is very busy, and
very
we've
active.
Been very very pleased with how that has how people are really enjoying what's happening in the Toby. We have the Winter Nights film series every Friday for the next several weeks, so you can check our website to see what films we'll be showing. And
again, imamuseum.org has the schedule for all those sorts of things going on there.
Exactly.
And stuff. Great, great. Well, again, looking forward to seeing you guys Monday at the IMA. Again, the hours noon to five.
Yes.
Noon to five. Mm-hmm. Great day to come out for that specific Monday.
Yeah.
That's right. Just one other thing. In the past, because this is usually a busy day, we do have shuttle service, so don't get discouraged if you notice that the parking lot is getting full. Although carpooling would be a good idea, you may know more about the shuttle service.
Yes. The shuttle service, again, will be available throughout the day from noon to 5, but it's going to be off-site at Light of the World Christian Church, which is just north of the museum, I believe on the corner of Michigan Road and Cold Spring.
Right, excellent. So park up there and take the shuttle down.
Yeah.
Travis DiNicola with Tariq Robinson and Katie Zarek from the IMA. To find out more about what the IMA is doing for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as well as for the rest of the winter, check out imamuseum.org. Again, imamuseum.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
give a man a fish and he eats for a day, teach a man to fish and, you know, he eats for life. So that could be the motto of a new business partnership between Sharon's next two guests, Christopher Piazza and Phil Campbell. Chris is a restless businessman who saw the opportunity at the northwest corner of 14th and Pennsylvania for 72 units of affordable artist housing with gallery space on the first floor. He had the housing and business experience. All he needed was a savvy guy to run the gallery, and enter Phil Campbell, veteran art entrepreneur and creator of the Murphy Arts Center, the Hot House Art Gallery, and Masterpiece in a Day. Chris and Phil just launched the Indie, that's I-N-D-Y, Indie, I-N-D-I-E, again, Indie, Indie, Art Colony. That's right, that's the Indie, Indie Art Colony. And they dropped in to tell Sharon Gamble about their partnership and the gallery's inaugural show, The Fish Show.
Let's talk about the name, Indie, Indie Artist Colony. Whose brainchild was that? Did you get together and think that up?
I came up with that. I was not comfortable with the first name, and I'm not even going to mention it, but I was not happy with it. And I was on a trip to visit one of my business partners in California, and it never sat well, and I was just sitting there. Trace it back to sitting with my feet in a hot tub overlooking this valley, and I was hitting the water and watching how the ripples, and I was likening that to the ripples of the mind and how it obscures, I don't know, truth sometimes. Going way too deep for this. But anyways, I'm almost positive I thought of Indie Indie at that point, and I loved it. And it's so simple, but it's so catchy, and I think it's perfect, and I think it's what it was meant to be. And then my business partner on the deal was there, and he liked the word colony, and artist was obviously going to be a part, so.
Sure. How did the two of you meet? Chris, you're obviously an artist in a businessman's body. I think you just, if people didn't know that already, I think what you just said revealed that. How did you seek each other out? You had this vision, Chris. You wanted to make affordable live-work space for artists with gallery space attached, but you don't have time to run that yourself, or maybe not the background to run it yourself.
No, definitely not. Definitely do not have the expertise to run the art gallery. Well, meeting Phil came through Joanna Taft with the Harrison Art Center, I believe is what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for the exact name. I know the
Harrison Center for the Arts.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
Its official legal title.
That's why I got stumped.
There you go.
So she suggested. I sat down with her for coffee. I was talking to her about the concept and what I was doing, and she mentioned Phil, and I met with Phil, and I think it was a couple weeks later we signed a contract to work together, and we've been getting to know each other since. And he was the missing piece, and everything is coming together so beautifully now.
Let's embarrass him. What were you looking for, and why did he turn out to be the person you said this is the right person for this project?
Gosh, well, I told her I was looking for somebody who could run the gallery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I mean, his background is exceptional. His experience is unrivaled from what I know. And it seems like I don't think I could find somebody who could do a better job. I mean, with his experience with, what is it, three galleries, the most recent being the Murphy Arts Center, the impact he had there in Fountain Square. He's bringing that same energy to Indie Indie. And everything's been rolling really fast since November 1st. We've leased more apartments than I ever have with any new development.
You're kidding. How many units are there?
There are 72, and we went from 10... Well, we went from 14% occupied to 42% occupied within the last, November, December, you know, however long it's been.
Holy mackerel. No pun intended, because we are going to talk about the fish show, but that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
Phil, I want to bring you into this conversation. You're kind of this cultural entrepreneur. You start things that grow like hotcakes, and then you start the next thing that grows like hotcakes. What's your background beyond your visual art expertise? You clearly have some kind of business chromosome. Where did you learn that, or was it just an instinct you were born with?
Wow, are you guys talking about me? You know, my father is an amazing businessman, and you know, I watched that and I strive to be like him. And I was actually going to school for business, and my intention was to go into business with him in the steel industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 2 hours after my last exam my freshman year, I was exhausted from microeconomics and everything else, and I packed everything I owned and moved to Florida, and I lived on the beach for 3 months, and all
wow.
I did was draw.
Where were you going to school?
I was at IUPUI.
Uh-huh.
And so I took off on my own, and I just drew all summer. And I worked in a gas station, and it was great. And I decided that I was going to try Heron School of Art. And my brother had gone there many years before, and I loved it. It was fantastic. I didn't take art in high school. I think I took one class. And so that's what I wanted to do. But as I came out, I was into self-promotion. And I showed with a few galleries in town. Rushman gave me my big break. And in 1994, I decided to branch out on my own and opened Hot House. And with that business background and the art background and some help from my father and some advice, I took a big studio in the Ferris Building. And it just kind of went crazy from there. I found a lot of artists who were making this fantastic work, but were kind of afraid of the business side of it. And I wanted to nurture those artists. So.
Man, I hope, I know we have a lot of younger listeners, and you both of your stories really are great lessons, not to sound didactic, but if you're not sure about what direction you're going, take some time out. You took a summer and got out of town and got a fresh perspective. And Chris, you're a business person, but obviously that doesn't mean you're also not an art lover, if not a hands-on artist. So we tend to categorize people and say, okay, you go in this box and you go in this box, and you can't get out of that box. You can't ooze over into somebody else's box. But you guys are both great examples of how it's not that simple. You need the whole spectrum.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, another thing, too, is young artists, I don't think that they should be detoured from getting out there early. You know, I was told the whole time I was in school, well, nobody's going to take you seriously until several years after you graduate. And I won my first national award before I had graduated.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if you have a vision, pursue it. You know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't. That's a big thing.
How did you come up with the theme for the fish show as the inaugural show in this space?
I love fish. You know, I it's hard to, it's, I don't know. I really don't. I know that it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. It's something I've had in my artwork for years and years, just a recurring theme. And I thought it'd be a really, really fun. It also, you know, this is something light and something fun that's going on in the dead of winter. So mm-hmm. Let's bring a little spring into it.
So it's a show about fish and about fishing for them.
Yes.
All paintings, drawings?
A little bit of everything. A little sculpture.
Who are the artists?
Matt Eichhoff, David Mattingly, Jim Walker, Kyle Morgan, Justin Cooper, Chris Harden, Mab Graves, Brian Moore, Joyce Garner, William Denton Ray, Quincy Owens, Mark Miller, Brian Sutherland, and Janice Richardson.
Wow, that's a lot of people. How big is the gallery space?
It's about 2,500 square feet. Half of that is for these rotating exhibits and visiting artists, and the other half is to support the artists that are in Indy Artist Colony, the residents.
Okay, cool.
So we have Ron Dean, and we have Skylar Lynn, and we have Pamela Bliss that will be showing from the building.
And how do you, once the building is even more full and you have more artists, how will you how will you fairly apportion the space, or is it just an invitation and not every artist is going to want to be in every show? Or how? What are the mechanics of how is this going to work?
As far as the residence side?
Yeah,
or that's something that I'm just going to kind of wade through.
Sure.
Right now, there are quite a few artists in the building, but a few of them are stepping back until they have a body of work ready. I think eventually, once all of the artists have occupied their spaces, I think we're going to have to go to smaller group exhibits, say 3 to 5, maybe 10 at a time, and do it that way.
What I should ask before we leave the topic of resident artists, some of your artists are non-visual artists, I'm guessing, in the building already or will be. Right.
Yes, I believe we have someone in video, and we have a writer, and I'm sure we'll have more
probably
artists,
some musicians somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And you have space available, and stay tuned because we'll give you contact information if you're an artist listening and saying, "Ooh, I want to check out living there," and we'll tell you exactly where the space is as well. The ground floor space that is where the gallery is.
Yes.
Has been a number of things in the recent past. There was a tattoo parlor in there for a while. What did it look like when you got there, and what did you need to do to make it viable gallery space? Oh, they're goodness. Laughing. They're both laughing. Uh-oh. That bad, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take it. Well, it was a disaster. It was a mix of new walls and walls 20 years old and walls.
And
you
know, every amateur plumber and electrician in the city had worked in there. Right.
So,
I'm sorry.
And it was a mess. It was quite disgusting, to be fully honest. But we just ripped everything out, cleaned it up. Did white paint on the walls, black on the ceilings, upgraded the electrical, put in the lights for the art. And it's a great open space with a really good feel to it now.
Yeah, Chris oversimplified that quite a bit. when we made our agreements November 1st, he looked at me and goes, "Can you be open by December 3rd? And I went, "Yeah, well, you know, we can open this corner space," because the corner, it was four storefronts, and the corner was, you know, fairly okay. We'll go in, we'll clean this up, and we'll do the soft opening, and we'll just use this, and each month we'll open a new section of it.
Yeah.
Well, about the middle of November, Chris brings in a crew and guts the entire, when I think I'm getting close to having this one corner cleaned up, he guts this entire place, dropping the ceilings to the floor, and
surprise, you can't look what even I made for you,
you
as your new
even
blank
imagine
plate.
The chaos. So, the pictures, you know, from where we went to what we opened with in 2 weeks was really amazing.
I see an exhibit in the future called Renovation or Chaos or something like that, featuring these photos. Fast forward a year. What do you want Indie Artist Colony to be?
Well, as far as I know, it is one of the largest artist communities, definitely in the state, if not the largest, but you know, one of the larger ones in the country. And I guess in a year, you said a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
A building full of artists interacting with each other, you know, have this great synergy where they can share and inspire each other. And on First Fridays or any other events, have people flowing through the building as they wish, friends, family, things like that. And if your door's open, welcome, you know. Of course, to be one of the better known and more popular galleries in the city. I see
all this, you know, the space that I'm working with is becoming just a vibrant part of the arts community. You know, we want to do music performances and theater performances and dance performances. I want the space to be open to all aspects of the arts. So I'm asking people to please, if you have an idea, if you have something you want to do, please come talk to us about it. You know, we're open, we're willing to listen to any proposal. you know, we want this thing to grow. We want the entire city, unlike some of the galleries that I've done in the past, where I've represented a core group of artists and promoted them, exclusively. This time, what I'd really like to do is allow, just kind of open the doors to the city and have theme-based shows and say, okay, this is what we're doing in February, this is what we're doing in March, and then have people submit works so that they can do their own thing and they can be free in their own city to exhibit wherever they would like, but then also participate in these really fun exhibits that we do.
And that brings to mind another goal that I forgot, or something that would be a beautiful thing, and that is to me connects this new arts district, if you will, the center, the Harrison Center for the Arts. The Heron Charter High School hopefully soon will have a gallery in their entry area once they can expand. And then there's Indy, and then there's
Gallery 924 at the Arts Council,
exactly.
Not far away. Mm-hmm.
So it, you
Benjamin
know,
Harrison Home.
Right.
All
right.
Those
studs.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So you have this loop that you can take, and it creates for a great, First Friday loop and a lot of great places to visit. So, yeah, that would be something I'd love to see.
Sharon Gamble with Chris Piazza and Phil Campbell. You can see the Fish Show through the end of this month at the brand new Indy Art Colony at the northwest corner of Pennsylvania and 14th Streets. You can learn about the affordable artist housing, 72 units above the gallery with rents starting at $395 a month at indieindieartist.com. That is INDYINDIE artist.com. indieindieartist.com.
Hey, Travis, I found out something very useful from one of my neighbors.
What's that, Sharon?
New Year's resolutions don't kick in until the Colts are out of the playoffs.
Is that how that works?
That's right.
Good.
Actually,
I didn't even make mine. I thought I'd just wait till the Colts were done in the playoffs to make mine.
Well, so. You're following the tradition of the Edstein household where they wanted to still be able to eat, I don't know, ding-dongs and nachos and all that kind of stuff during the game last week. But now they can reform themselves, and one of their resolutions was to see more art.
That's a great resolution.
It is.
So it's not too late.
It's not too late, and we have some suggestions on our arts calendar we call.
What do we do?
What do you have?
Well, if one of your resolutions is to see more magic this year, I think it should be, then perhaps you want to check out...
That's always on my to-do list.
The Winter Magic Festival, which is being co-produced and presented by Indie Fringe Theater with Indie Magic Monthly, and this is just going to be a whole lot of fun. January 21st through the 23rd, 3 days of magic, all taking place at the Indie Fringe Theater on St. Clair Street, which is sort of just around the corner from College and Mass Ave, and it's five different magic acts that are featured in rotation each day. It starts at Friday at 6, and it goes through Sunday evening with the last performance at 7:30. Performances throughout the day, about every hour and a half or so, and tickets are discounted for kids as well, of course, and you can get more information online at indiefringe.org. But let me just give you a little sampling of the different magicians that are going to be performing. One is a group called Touch of Magic, which is sort of more traditional old-school magic with two different magicians that are from Columbus doing sort of a dueling magicians type of piece. Then Brandon Baggett, who is a comedy illusionist, so it's as much a comedy show as it is magic. He's worked on a lot of cruise ships and such. Random Amazingness with Trig Burraj, and he's sort of a mix of mime and comedy and juggling as well as magic. And then you've got Surreality, there we go, with the Amazing Barry. And he's also a bit of a humorist from the South, but also a magician who's real big in Memphis. And that should be a lot of fun. And then finally, you've got Keepers of Magic, which is a group of, it's sort of a fraternity, if you will, of professional magicians from Louisville that get together. It's not really like a frat party. It's much more like a magic party. But all of them will be performing. Again, as part of the Winter Magic Festival, which is taking place at Indie Fringe the weekend of the 21st through the 23rd. Look for me, I'll be there.
But you should check into tickets soon. Why?
Are they
disappearing?
That's beautiful, Sharon. Nice.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
What do you got?
hey, anybody who's been driving down Central Avenue regularly has cannot help but notice that the old Centrum is bit by bit being transformed into the new Indiana Landmark Center, which is going to be opening in April. Why am I talking about that now?
Why?
Because Indiana Landmarks, the former Historic Landmarks Foundation, is looking for lots of volunteers to fill a host of new roles. And they are hosting information sessions for potential volunteers on Tuesday, February 1st from 10 to 11:30 in the morning and 5:30 to 7 in the evening. Some of the roles they are looking volunteers to fulfill: tour guide, theater usher, other volunteer roles to be determined. And they're going to serve refreshments at the volunteer info sessions, which will be held not at Indiana Landmark Center because there's still a lot of work going on there, but on Tuesday, February 1st at the Morris Butler House, due east of Indiana Landmark Center. The grand opening is coming up April 16th and 17th, and we'll have lots more information about that. But if you are intrigued by architecture or historic preservation, this might be a good way to find out more from the inside out. Tuesday, February 1st, more information at indianalandmarks.org.
Excellent. Hey, there is still time for you to take advantage of the ISOs, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's sale. They're buy two, get one free ticket sale that they have going on. It goes on through the 17th, so there is a little bit of time left to do that. You can pick any two concerts and then get a ticket for a third concert for any of the concerts between now and middle of June for free. In fact, this weekend you got Live and Let Die, music of Paul McCartney's going on this weekend, but there's a lot of other just great, great concerts I'm looking forward to throughout this whole season. But you got to get your tickets now because they're going fast.
They're going fast. One might say they're disappearing. Oh, no. We're going to have a magic theme calendar one of these days, I can tell. Hey, elsewhere in this show, you have a couple of great interviews about MLK Day activities. The Indiana Historical Society will also offer free admission on Monday as it honors and celebrates the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And don't forget, they have those new exhibits that are collectively called You Are There. You want to check out one called You Are There, 1968, Robert Kennedy Speaks.
That's the new one that just opened.
It's about to open, but you can get a little sneak preview when you go on MLK Day, and that's all I'm going to say about that because it's going to bowl you over when you get there. Don't forget, too, that there's a nice place to eat there, the Stardust Terrace Cafe, and you can look out on the canal and just check out all the other things going on at the Indiana History Center run by the Indiana Historical Society.
Cool. Hey, going to throw a lot of numbers at you because there's two things coming up for Time for Three. That's two with Time for Three. one of them is...
I was told there'd be no math.
and it gets even better because Time for Three is performing U2. So, right. Anyways, if you don't know what we're talking about, Time for Three is the ensemble.
At IMCPL?
There you go. Time for Three is the Indiana Symphony Orchestra's ensemble in Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's ensemble in residence. Three great guys that perform for Time for Three, and they're doing a couple cool things at the end of the month. One is they're performing U2 meets Shostakovich, and it's part of the Stella Happy Hour at the Symphony Concert on January 27th. That's a little after work thing, get together, and then see a concert afterwards on Thursday the 27th. But prior to that, they are actually doing a really cool event at the Central Library, and that is on Tuesday, January 25th from 6 to 7:30, and there's no age restrictions on this, but it is sort of a presentation lecture about for individuals of all ages who are invited to explore the world of chamber music during this free both performance and talk that the guys are going to be doing. And they're also going to be doing some stuff with, I guess, like Broad Ripple Magnet Art High School and Park Tudor and Perry Meridian, and it's all going to be in the Clues Auditorium at Central Library on Tuesday the 25th. So two different Time for Threes.
That's a very fun Clues Auditorium is a great place to hear a concert as well. I don't think a lot of people have been in there yet, even though it's been open for a little bit.
Very good. Yeah. Great new opportunity.
It is indeed. Next month, next big holiday is
Valentine's Day.
You got it. Yes, you win. Yes. You win brownie points. I'm telling you about this now.
Why?
Because it's coming up. The Harrison Home will open its its 2011 year with Romance and Remembrance, Valentines and Vintages, which is a romantic Valentine's evening of presidential love letters in the president's mansion and a five-course dinner and wine tasting at the Indianapolis Propylaeum. It's taking place on Saturday, February 12th, so a little pre-Valentine's event, and it's obviously a fundraiser, obviously going to be a nice night of vintage wines. And how cool to hear presidential Valentine's, presidential love letters. Yeah.
Nice. We need more of those.
Yeah, we do.
Well, good. Well, we will have more ideas of things for you to do to keep your New Year's resolutions and all that next week on that calendar we call.
What do we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
For the 11th year in a row, visitors to White River State Park attractions will receive free admission and free parking on Martin Luther King Jr. Day this Monday with a canned good donation, one can per person per attraction. The park's partnership with Gleaner's Food Bank has resulted in approximately 150,000 pounds of non-perishable canned food donations over the years from this one-day annual event. Donna Imus visited the Art of the Matter studios to tell Travis DiNicola more.
So there's a lot of great stuff. I mean, always great stuff going on at the White River State Park. But this coming Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a particularly great day to go visit. Tell me why.
Well, everything's free. You
yeah.
don't get that very often at White River State Park. But everything's free. All the attractions are open that day. Free admission. And we have free parking throughout as well.
Even better.
So, really, unless you're going to eat someplace, it doesn't cost you anything. All it costs is a can of food donation. We've been doing this for 11 years now with Gleaners, that we've partnered with Gleaners, and we've raised nearly 150,000 pounds of food during that time. So, it's you know, there are shelves after the holidays are empty, so this is a great time for us to be doing this. And what I love about the event more than anything is that there's a lot of people that come out this day that can't afford to go to the attractions because of the price, but they're still helping somebody else in the community by donating a can of food.
Which is really such a good feeling.
You know, to go and walk around, and you know, I always try with my little bag of cans to go to each one of the attractions that day.
Well, it's a great day to be a tourist in your own town.
It is.
You know, and as you said, especially because there's so many great attractions at the White River State Park, and I love going down there. And we'll talk about what's going to be open and going on that day in just a moment. But to be clear, it is one can for each attraction, right?
One can per person per
attraction. One can per person per attraction. So if you've got a couple kids with you, each of them need a can for, if you want to go to the zoo, that's one can. If you want to go to, the State Museum, that's another can, and so on and so on.
Okay.
Exactly. So what?
It's still a pretty cheap
admission. Still a pretty good deal, though, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. And as you said, all that goes to Gleaners. So I mentioned the zoo. Maybe that's a good place to start with, and then we'll go from there, all the other attractions.
Or? Okay, that's great. The zoo, you can, some people think, oh, it's cold out there, but, you know, it's a great time to see the animals that love the cold weather. So the polar bears are out. The sea lions like the cold weather.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get warm, you can go in and see a dolphin show at 10:30 or at 2:30. And then the meerkats are in the deserts building, and that's always 82 degrees. In there.
That's right.
So that's a great place, like kind of halfway back in the zoo, to kind of get warm while you're walking the grounds.
Yeah, always good to remember there are some great indoor activities there. And and as you mentioned, I mean, the animals, a lot of them love being out in the cold and stuff.
And then you can also go in and pet the shark tank, the sharks in the shark tank. So there's a lot of indoor things while you're at the zoo as well. And then you also, with a can of food into the zoo, you also get to go to the gardens.
Which I love doing.
It's a great place, even in the winter, because it's so nice in the conservatory.
One of my favorite things is if you're lucky enough to be in there when it's actually snowing, it's pretty cool to be in that, just, you know, that big, beautiful greenhouse, glass house, and have the snow coming down and be nice and toasty inside, looking at all the beautiful tropical plants and what have you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very cool. Okay. So the zoo's a great place to start. And as you mentioned, again, free parking that day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's free parking throughout the park, so okay. If you go to Victory Field, if you go to any of the surface lots or the underground garage, it's all free.
Okay, good. And what next?
Well, let's go to the IMAX Theater, which okay. is in the State Museum. We're going to be having 5 different shows starting at 9 in the morning, and it's a new movie that the public hasn't even seen here in Indiana yet. It's called Sea Rex Journey to a Prehistoric World, and it's in 3D.
Fun. Okay.
And we're not even going to open the film until February. So everybody that wants to go, the first show is going to be at 9 a.m. So the tickets usually sell out pretty quick to here.
Sure.
Because people, you will go ahead and get the show for the 2 o'clock, get a ticket for the 2 o'clock early in the morning. So if you want to beat the rush and start there at 9 o'clock, that
idea.
Might be a better idea is to start there with it. But
get your ticket there. And there's nothing like seeing 3D on the IMAX screen.
Especially the screen. I mean, yeah. The IMAX Theater in the State Museum has the largest screen in the state, and it's got the best sound, surround sound, so you really feel like you're in the movies and mm-hmm. not just watching one.
But very
you,
cool.
You feel like you're with these prehistoric creatures that come out of the water. So it's a great movie. I've seen it, and
yeah.
You could be the first to see it in Indiana.
Very cool. Okay.
And then while we're at the IMAX Theater, the Indiana State Museum, mm-hmm. it surrounds it, as you know, and they've got... All their exhibits are open. They're going to be doing some acting out plays about Martin Luther King, some documentary films.
Oh, very good.
So it's going to be a great place to go as well. And
yeah.
it's warm. The LST room, Air's mm-hmm. tea room is going to be open as well as the cafeteria. So if you wanted to get something to eat,
good place to stop by
you could
and get some
by
lunch.
And get something to eat there too.
Very cool. Now, is the I forget the name of the exhibit, but it's something like Bizarre Indiana.
Odd Indiana. Yes,
is that still up?
Yes, it's
okay.
still up.
Because that's pretty neat.
And I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard. I think I'm going to take the advantage on Monday and go see it.
Yeah.
But no, it's Titanic will have closed.
Okay.
They're closing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go and see Odd Indiana, and I've heard it's very cool. It's all the quirky little stuff
yeah,
about Indiana.
Yeah, just sort of bizarre artifacts that have been collected that have to do with some sort of interesting bits of Indiana history and very personal and bizarre, most of it. Yeah,
yeah
it's very fun.
I'm excited to see it. I haven't had a chance to see that.
Okay, where next?
Well, the NCAA Hall of Champions.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have – it's a great place if you want to learn about what life is like for a student athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they not only have to go to school, but they, you know, have practice and studying. And so it's really, you know, a hard way to go through school. So you learn more about them. There's going to be some student athletes from IUPUI that
okay.
are going to lead fitness clinics at 11 and 1, I'm sorry. And then also, there's an event here every year now on April 4th that kind of, if you remember it, that's the day that Martin Luther King died
mm-hmm.
and Robert Kennedy was here campaigning. And so they do a tribute, and there's a movie that's going to be shown during the day, and there's going to be information about the event that's going to happen on April 4th.
Okay.
So there's going to be representatives there. It's because NCAA is a big partner in that,
mm-hmm.
in the April 4th event. So you can learn more about it and get involved in the April 4th activities while you're at the NCAA.
Very good. And just to mention that, you know, at that museum for the NCAA, you know, it's not just football and basketball. I mean, it's fencing and gymnastics and wrestling and volleyball and, you know, every sport you can imagine that's part of college athletics.
Yeah, and it's and there's some – when they reopened after the fire,
mm-hmm.
they've got a lot more interactive games there that you can stand and watch a tennis ball come to you, and it'll tell you how fast it's being pitched to or sent to you, and it's you can't even imagine. You know, you just the first time you do
flinch,
it, you kind
right?
of just flinch back and go wow, and then you look and see that it came 95 miles an hour towards you. I don't know how these guys hit it or gals hit it when it goes
very
that
cool.
fast. So that's very cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the Idlejord Museum,
of course.
And, I mean, that's such a wonderful museum. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you love the Southwest and their art and their artifacts, and they're doing a lot more interactive things.
You know, a good friend of mine just told me that he thought the contemporary art exhibit that's at the Idlejord right now is one of the best examples of contemporary art he's seen in Indianapolis in years. Just a beautiful exhibit. I'm very curious to go see it myself because I haven't had a chance to see the new exhibit.
Yeah, it's really great. And then there's activities for kids there, too,
mm-hmm.
that they have an interactive section downstairs where, you know, you can get in into the stagecoach, a real-life stagecoach.
Oh, right,
that
sure,
down
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really fun, and you can they have little things, you know, outfits that the kids can put on and pretend like they're in the Old West. And so that's always a great place to go. And then there's nothing better than the Sky City Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
If it serves Southwestern fare and it's really tasty. And, you know, if it's cold out, they've got always good soups and chilies to sample.
Excellent place to have some lunch or early dinner there as well.
And then,
now, you mentioned Victory Field. Now, okay, there is no Indians game going on at Victory Field on Monday. Let's just be clear about that.
That's true. But, and they've always participated, and they've kind of struggled, you know, because people don't think of going to, but they've been partners with us in being open. And this year, we've partnered with Wishart Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be upstairs in the third floor where it's nice and warm and toasty.
Okay.
And they're going to be from 10 to 2 offering free health screenings. So they're going to be doing screenings on glucose, cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
Your body mass index. And so if you're overweight, they'll also give you examples of, you know, how you can eat better and really teach you something while you're there. And then Rowdy's going to be there from 11 to 1.
Excellent.
Signing autographs for the kids.
Good.
So while, you know, maybe the parents are doing some of the health screenings, Rowdy's going to be there to also entertain. So it's just an all-around good day at the park.
Yeah, really great day. And that's great because you can, you know, by bringing cans, you know, one can for each person for each exhibit, you know, help out cleaners, you know, get a good health screening, which is so important, but then also just really, you know, get to enjoy all the great attractions at the state park. A great way to do it. Again, you know, especially for families on MLK Day to be able to go down and enjoy, you know, such a great treasure that we have there.
Well, it is. And it's funny because when we've done this in the past, there is a little gas station convenience store just down the street from the zoo
mm-hmm.
that you go in there after the day, and people who might not have brought their cans of food, they go there and there are like no cans left on the on the shelves after that.
Travis DiNicola with Donna Imus from the White River State Park. The park is also offering complimentary parking on MLK Junior Day. Visitors may park in the underground garage located off Washington Street in front of the Indiana State Museum, in the parking lots at the Indianapolis Zoo and Victory Field, and in the lot across from Victory Field next to the Visitors Center. For more information about White River State Park, visit inwhiteriver.org. That's inwhiteriver.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com. Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I'll find out about the Art for the Nation at the Indiana State Museum.
And I'll get a behind-the-scenes tour of a new Shakespearean production.
And I'll visit the Palladium to find out how do you tune a hole. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar, we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 for The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support from listeners like you and from the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts, opening in January 2011. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.